What's up, everybody? Panos here from Puck Empire, joined by Taryn, Joe, and Kevin. And this is episode 4 of the Puck Empire podcast. We were just probably like an hour away from, if we started this an hour ago, we would have had another episode where big news dropped while we were recording. Because John Klingberg just signed with the Anaheim Ducks, or reportedly hasn't been officially confirmed yet. But he just signed with the Anaheim Ducks on a one-year deal, around $7 million. So what do you guys think about that?
I'll go first. Obviously, a lot of people are kind of, I wouldn't really say confused, because John Klingberg was going to go to a weird team. Apparently, he chose Anaheim instead of our prediction being Detroit. So people are confused about Klingberg going to Anaheim, because A, why? And B, what does he see in Anaheim? Like, that team's not going to be a playoff team this year in the Pacific anyways. But here's where it comes in. John Klingberg, one-year deal worth $7 million. He wasn't going to get a long-term deal with the way the market was shaping up, a long-term deal with a team. So he takes that Taylor Hall type deal that he took with Buffalo about 2 years ago now. So he signs that deal with Anaheim, has time to prove himself so he can get that long-term deal, like Panos mentioned in the group chat that we're in. So there's that possibility as well if he goes off. And he will be getting top line minutes in Anaheim under Dallas Eakins, as that team, their decor is kind of weird at the moment. So that'll be fun. He'll get 25 plus minutes like Panos talked about before. And yeah, I think it's weird in a way. Like, it's not bad, but it's just weird. It caught me off guard, if I'm being honest. But if you're John Klingberg and you're trying to get that long-term deal from a team, I think this is the deal to do that with. So, Kevin, what do you think?
It makes a lot of sense for Klingberg. Like, I'm not confused at all for him, but I don't know what Anaheim thinks. Like, I think, as Panos mentioned in a different episode of the podcast, any team that doesn't have a chance at the playoffs this year should be tanking for Bedard. So signing Klingberg, I don't see any reason Anaheim should have done that, because he's just gonna leave next year. And some of you may know, John Klingberg earlier switched agencies. I forgot who he switched from. It's going to be a prove it year for John Klingberg, who's going to be getting first line pairing and first power play time in Anaheim. So yeah, he should be poised for a big year in terms of points, and try again with that long term extension next year.
Yeah, he's now with Newport Sports. Yeah, right. Klingberg's being represented by Craig Oster, one of the big name agents in the NHL right now. Panos, let's see what you have to say. I know you have some thoughts of the Klingberg deal.
Yeah, I thought I had Anaheim as a potential team for him to go on. Like, on my post yesterday, I had him with, I made a post, I had him going to either Dallas, Anaheim, Islanders, Detroit, Ottawa, Calgary, Seattle. Those are like my teams I saw him going to, like landing with. But I didn't expect a one-year deal. That was kind of random. But yeah, now it's like, it's just kind of like Anaheim's in a weird spot, because I don't think they're a playoff team still.
Yep.
And the right-handed defensive side now is Shattenkirk, Klingberg, and Drysdale. Whichever order you want to put those three in, like, that's what their right D side is looking like to start the season. He's good, and he's, as you said, he's going to get like 25 minutes a night, probably 24 minutes a night, and he's going to be playing top power play quarterback probably, unless they decide to stick with Drysdale. But I think they're going to go with Klingberg. It doesn't really make sense for them to just give him a one-year deal, but I mean, at the same time, I guess if he has a good season and he doesn't want to stay, you can trade him at the deadline for at least a first. And if he has a good season and he does want to stay, you can keep him, and you just get a really good defenseman if he ends up being good. So I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world, because Anaheim has like $30 million cap, like they have
caps.
But it's just like, it's just kind of weird to give him just a one-year deal.
Yeah, this is kind of like how I mentioned, like, it's kind of like that Taylor Hall in Buffalo type thing, where it didn't really make sense at all, because coming from Arizona, where like they were in the bubble that year, but then they didn't really do much against Nashville. And then he signs in Buffalo, takes that one-year deal, but then gets shipped off at the trade deadline to Boston. Then he kills it in Boston and signs that multi-year extension. So I think we'll expect something like that for Klingberg, like you pointed out. So kind of a weird signing in Anaheim, but not weird at all for Klingberg. So that's John Klingberg to the Anaheim Ducks. Yeah, Kevin, what do you have to say?
Yeah, like now they have three defensemen on the right side that can't play defense.
Yeah.
Especially with Dallas Aiken. So it's just going to be... It's going to be another year where Gibson starts off strong and then breaks down like midway through because none of them are going to be playing defense, especially not with Dallas Aikens. Maybe if they get a new coach, that'll fix things up, but they're not a playoff team with Dallas Aikens. So
yeah,
it's no sense that they bring in Klingberg.
Yeah, so there's that. And now we'll get to the hot topic on the Puck Empire account for the last week or so. The 100 player list. We all know if you are probably listening to this podcast, you're an avid follower of the Puck Empire page, run by our very own Panos. So you all you maybe have seen that 100 player list put out by Panos, and then everything that went down on hockey Twitter. So Panos, I know you have some things to say. There's some things to address. So without further ado, let's go.
All right. So yeah. I knew when I was making that list, it was going to get controversial, right? You're never going to get like everyone agreeing with you or even close to anyone agreeing with you if you make a top 100 player list. And it started off with people just commenting. It got over around 2,000 comments and 14,000 likes. And then it made its way to Twitter. And we saw some interesting stuff from, you know, people who have like five favorite teams in their bio. Like seven favorite teams in their bio. Like they name their username after some dude that they find like attractive in the NHL. Like it's come
and
on.
And tweet 27 times a day.
Exactly. Yeah. Like it's like they post more than me and I get paid to do this. And they post just like with 300 followers, just like it's annoying. And they go like, oh, never make a list again. Like this one person said, never make a list again. Never talk about hockey again. And then this person went on to say that putting Tyler Bertuzzi as like the 25th best winger is too high when this dude's like, they don't know what they're talking about. And it's just like, if I want to see them make a top 100 list, like I'm fine with taking criticism, but like, don't chirp a top 100 list if you aren't going to make your own top 100 list. Because then I saw people making their own top 100 list. Remember, I posted this and one person didn't have Artemi Panarin or Patrick Kane in their top 100.
But they had like, Matthew Boldy in the top 100.
Yeah, they had Jack Hughes at 11. Like, it's just like, you want to trip my list, that's fine, but then release your own. And I appreciate the people who released their own, and they had made terrible lists as well. Because they're making their own, and they're showing it.
Yeah.
The people who just chirp. And then another thing I wanted to bring up, okay, those people are fine because like they're just randoms on hockey Twitter. Dan Kingersky, bro. Dan Kingersky
wrote a whole article.
Yeah, this dude made an article. All those people at Hockey Now, I don't know if you guys know that site, Hockey Now. It's like Pittsburgh Hockey Now, Islanders, yeah. Like make like all the teams or whatever. The person from Pittsburgh Hockey Now, Dan Kingersky, I'll ignore the other two, but Dan Kingersky, bro, you literally said Nashville was faking their sound in the crowd during the 2017 playoffs because you were mad that they were playing Pittsburgh, bro. And you were mad that they were outdoing Pittsburgh's audience and crowd. Like, Dan Kingersky is one of the most idiotic people in hockey media, bro. I've talked to this dude personally before, and he's, like, so full of himself, bro. This dude I don't know what he's talking about, trying to say, never take an opinion from a hockey Instagram account. Bro, man, Dan, bro, just humble yourself, man. Like, I like Shang Peng from the Hockey Now.
Yeah.
He's the San Jose guy. He's actually a really chill dude. But that's all I have to say. I just have to call out Dan Kingersky. I had to call out the hockey Twitter guy just because, like...
Yeah.
Like, they shouldn't be talking, but that's all I have to say there.
And here's the thing as well, like, handling the chirps and all, you've been doing this for years now, so it doesn't really faze you. And then people that put out lists on Twitter, like, the one dude kept it up, but then the second person that tweeted out their list that didn't include Artemi Panarin or Patrick Kane, they deleted the list in, like, under 4 hours, so... That's a telltale sign. If you can't take the heat, don't start shit. So yeah.
Like if you're gonna make a top 100 list and you're gonna have Jacob Slavin a tier above Sidney Crosby, David Pastrnak, Brad Marchand, Jack Eichel, Patrice Bergeron, Alex DeBrincat, Alex Ovechkin, Steven Stamkos, Braden Point, Devin Taves, like you should just Jonathan Huberdeau. Oh. You should just stop making lists right there. And Roman Josi. Anyways, yeah. It's just. I don't know how these people can talk shit and then do
something
that.
Like that. Yeah.
So,
no, but honestly, I don't even care about the Twitter people, because those are just like, it's just like a follower giving their opinion,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah,
not,
that's fair.
Not going to care too much about them. But the only one that actually like annoyed me was Dan Kangurski, because he, as a, like, nobody in hockey media respects this dude. I just got to be honest right now. Nobody does. He gets ratioed by other people from like The Athletic and stuff. He's gotten ratioed by them multiple times. This dude, he was trying to say Ovi's like legacy was like not as good as Crosby, oh, because he skipped the All-Star game. Crosby has skipped more All-Star games than Ovechkin. like this dude is just a goof. Like, I don't care about the Twitter people, as I said, because it's just like a follower giving their opinion. That's whatever. But like, Dan Kangurski, man, has no room to talk, bro.
Yeah, and even with the list, it's a 100 player list. No list is going to be perfect ever. There's always going to people that are, there's always going to be people that aren't going to agree with every name on that list. So it's not like every list is going to be perfect. So people that are bashed, like, I get people are going to bash on it anyway, but people just taking it to extreme extents is just like, it's way too much. But even then, it's their opinion, so we'll let it slide.
Yeah, yeah. Dan Kangurski, here's the thing. Person. I feel like you can like have your opinion, but if you're going to talk shit about another person's list, then you deserve the heat back. I don't care. That's why
and
I'm
if
like
you can't
chirping.
Take it, then why are you even posting
that? That's why I'm chirping back to that Twitter list with Jacob Slavin, because I don't know if he actually talked shit about your list, but if he did, then he deserves the heat back. So
Yeah, exactly. It's like, and it's just like the only thing that pissed me off about Kangurski is he's like, this is why you shouldn't take info from an Instagram account. What does the app that I'm on have to do with anything? I've still accumulated 108K. You've accumulated 6K. More people come to me for hockey stuff than you.
Damn. And how long has he been covering hockey for?
Dude, I don't
probably
even, I didn't know who he was.
Plus.
Exactly.
I legit did not know who he was
exactly.
before he said that.
Exactly. Like, it's just, like, funny how he's trying to act like me being on Instagram does anything. Like, I still have over 100,000 more followers on my platform than you do on yours, bro. More people know who I am than you. Like...
Yeah, so 100-player list. We all know it can't be perfect. So to all the people chirping, you can keep on doing that, even Dan Kangurski. So, yeah. And then, obviously, there was some other big news around the league this week, as Adidas announced that they aren't renewing their contract with the NHL as their official uniform supplier after the 2023-24 season. So... they took the NHL and Adidas took out a joint statement in which it said the NHL and Adidas confirmed that the NHL Adidas partnership will not continue following the expiration of the current agreement after the 2023-24 NHL season. The NHL and Adidas look forward to continuing to work closely together over the next 2 years and to a smooth transition to the new authentic NHL uniform supplier, which will be announced by the NHL at the appropriate time. So, first initial thoughts, how do you gents feel? Adidas leaving the NHL after just less than 10 years at the helm as a jersey supplier. Who wants to go first?
I'm like heartbroken, man. I actually love Adidas as the NHL jersey supplier. They actually did such a good job, in my opinion. Hopefully whoever's next keeps the dimples on the top of the jersey. I don't know what they're actually called, but I don't know. I'm pretty sad because I just really like their material and their designs, and they just made it really well. So
yeah, like even with that, like all the concepts, like originally when Adidas stepped in for the 2017-18 season after their Reebok contract expired, people were kind of dumbfounded by the original concepts. Like, obviously, those are the first initial concepts and people were already ripping them apart. And only like two or three of them were even bad out of those 31 at the time. And even then, like, Adidas wasn't really the lead head of those designs. Obviously, the teams were. So after that, everything, like, even with the reverse retro, the jerseys have been great. We're getting another set of those this year. The last to last year's set was amazing, with retros coming back in some different fashion, and even like other jerseys as well, like the alternate versions that teams have, and even teams rebranding, like we saw with Ottawa, Calgary, and even some other teams as well. Like now Edmonton is going back to their retros. So we've seen a lot of that retro type feel in the NHL for a while now, and Adidas has done an amazing job, so good on them for that. And yeah, Panos, how do you feel?
Yeah, you guys definitely know more than me about like the jersey stuff. I'm not too big with the jersey stuff, but I liked Adidas as well. I felt like it was like the right fit for the NHL. It's going to be interesting now to see who's going to take over. And I wonder if it's like it said, I'm pretty sure the report said that Adidas isn't going to renew the contract. I didn't think the NHL did. So that means Adidas didn't want to renew it. And I wonder if that's because there's going to be like ads on the jersey or what. I have no clue. That's just like me like talking right now. But and yeah, I don't know who's going to take over now. I've seen some people scared about Fanatics taking over. Yeah.
Dude, the jersey numbers would peel off by the end of the game. Like the crest would fall off. Like, I don't even know.
Yeah, that would be a mess. If they ended up going with Fanatics, that'd be a mess. Because I have a couple of those jerseys. And at first, like before I owned one, I was like, bro, why do people hate like it so much? It doesn't seem that. But like owning a Fanatics jersey compared to owning like an Adidas jersey or like an actual one, like it's so much of a difference.
Yeah, the difference is immense. Like obviously there's now multiple brands that can represent the NHL at the uniform supplier level. Obviously CCM is there. They already supply the Canadian Hockey League and the AHL. So that'll be a nice fit if CCM does get the jersey supplier for the NHL. They've already done a great job before in the past, in the early 2000s. Now they're doing a great job with the junior teams and even the AHL. And then obviously Nike, this isn't really a favorite option for some of the people out there. Yeah, as Kevin said, Nike isn't really a favorite option for a bunch of people, as you saw what they did with the international state jerseys in 2018. Those were abysmal. And even the jersey material is kind of, it feels like it's fake. Like you could buy the same jersey off of DH Gate for less money than you can for the actual Nike price. So we'll see what happens. Nike and CCM are going to be there. And then there's a lot of people that are throwing out random names, like even Under Armour. Like, how will that work? So, yeah, let's see. Choose one name out of CCM and Nike. I know Kevin's going to choose CCM.
Oh, yeah, definitely CCM. I mean, you look at the 2022 Olympic jerseys that Nike made. The Canada ones are just an eyesore. They are awful. They made the U.S. jerseys look like a soccer jersey. And just the other ones were just, I guess, standard designs of international teams. So they're not awful. But everything about those jerseys were just ugly. Like, the font that Nike used, or maybe it's the IIHF. I don't know who's controlling the font, but those are disgusting. The collar is disgusting. The material is disgusting. Everything about Nike, I do not want them next. So yeah, we'll go CCM.
Yeah, what about you, Puddles?
I honestly have no clue what the difference is, to be honest. So I'll just go CCM because that's what Kevin said, and I trust.
Yeah, like even owning both, like I have a Team Canada jersey from 2018, then I have a CCM jersey from the early 2000s. The quality difference from like this is a 15-year-old, 16-year-old jersey we're talking about, and it has 10 times better jersey quality than a jersey that was just released about 4 years ago. So yeah, I'd take CCM as well. One thing they should do, if I don't know if people have seen the CCM jerseys in the CHL and AHL, they have a weird collar. Like we saw what the Adidas did with their collars. They have like that stripe and then the shiny NHL logo. CCM, on the other hand, their collar, it's black and it's like shiny. It's reflective material and it's kind of wide. So that's one thing I'd like to see refined, but I'm all on board for CCM being the uniform supplier. So yeah, NHL and Adidas splitting their uniform supplier contract after just 7 years. It's going to be 7 years after the 2023-24 season. So after just 7 years, they're gone as the uniform supplier of the NHL. So now we're on to the RFA and UFA signings. There were multiple signings this week. Major ones, not really major, but minor ones that left some players not going to arbitration, which is good news for these teams. So without further ado, Matthew Joseph, this was recent. Yesterday, he signed a 4-year, $2.95 million extension with the Ottawa Senators. How do you gents feel? Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. Matthew Joseph, in my opinion, he's kind of like a little bit overrated compared to what people act like he is, just because I haven't seen like, other than that 11-game sample size, I think it was, in Ottawa, where he was over point per game, yeah, for sure. But, like, I haven't seen him being much more than a third liner so far. I know he has the potential to be really, really solid. And I don't hate the contract. I think the contract's good. I just hate, like, how people are going, like, oh, this was such a steal for Ottawa to just steal Matthew Joseph. Like, Tampa Bay got some really good usage out of Nick Paul, and he's signed for a very long time.
7 years, yeah.
Yeah, so he's gonna be there for a long time as well. I think it was a good trade for both teams. And the signing of Matthew Joseph, I don't hate it at all, because Ottawa can easily move out some contracts if they need to. So this contract's not really a big problem. I don't hate it. And he has the potential to, you know, exceed this contract by like a lot in value, like in terms of value. So it's not a bad contract, and he's a good player. It's just he's a little overrated in my opinion.
Yeah, especially by the Sens fan base, a little bit. So yeah, Kevin, what do you have to say?
Yeah, really, really solid deal. I think he's a very good middle six player. So 4 years, 2.95, that's middle six money. So fair value, as Panos mentioned, he can definitely exceed the value of that contract, has the potential to. Yeah, solid signing for Ottawa.
Yeah, like even the point that Panos mentioned about being the third line forward, we saw what Ottawa has done this offseason with the additions of Alex DeBrincat and now Claude Giroux. So their top six is already set. So if Matthew Joseph wants to elevate his game and potentially take over some of those guys in the top six, it's going to have to be next level, especially with the extensions that some of these guys have signed with Ottawa for their top six. So it's going to be interesting. I like the deal. 4 years, $2.95 million, decent pay for him. And the years don't matter at all. He's 25, I think, or 24, around that age. So I think it's a nice deal for Ottawa. Not bank-breaking, as Pano said. So it's a solid deal, solid depth guy right now for Ottawa. He has potential to do even more with Ottawa. So nice deal for him. And then, obviously, Kaapo Kakko, he signed a two-year extension worth $2.1 million with the New York Rangers. We saw what happened in the playoffs with him and Gerard Gallant. So it's going to be a weird dynamic there for a little bit. So, Panos, how do you feel?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting. I have to make sure to kind of use my words like safely here, because I know Rangers fans are going to massacre me if I say anything, you know, too bad about Kaapo Kakko. I've never been like a massive Kaapo Kakko fan, but I still thought he was going to be better than what he's been so far.
Yeah.
Obviously, the way he's been kind of developed has kind of been all over the place, and the Rangers development in general has been all over the place. We saw it with Alexis Lafreniere for the first year as well. He's doing good now. He had a really good postseason at Lafreniere, but you know, we saw it there too. So the Rangers development has always kind of been like iffy. I think I saw, I don't know if this was about the Rangers or another team, but I swear I saw a stat that said the Rangers have not developed their own 70-point scorer since like the 90s. I don't know if that was the Rangers. Maybe I'm completely wrong and I'm an idiot.
I think I saw the same thing.
It probably is the Rangers.
Yeah, I think it was the Rangers. Yeah, I saw the same thing.
I swear it was the Rangers too, but I don't know. I just had to make sure that it was. But yeah, so I don't know what's going to happen with Kaapo Kakko. I don't know if he's ever going to be second overall worthy, but these 2 years are going to be big for him, because if he stays the same development-wise after these 2 years, like, what's going to happen? He's probably done in New York. He's probably like a bona fide bottom six guy if he doesn't do good after these 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of confusing times for him. Obviously, it's kind of a prove-it deal with the 2 years. So he has time to prove that he is the second overall pick. I don't think we'll ever see, like, he's still very, very young. I'm not going to say that we won't ever see it, but at this point, it's not looking very likely that we'll see that second overall potential in him that the Rangers saw when they picked him. So it's going to be interesting to see how Gerard Gallant and the Rangers do use him and how he develops in the 2 years with the Rangers. Otherwise, I think it's bye-bye to the Big Apple for Kaapo Kakko. So Kevin, how do you feel about this deal?
I feel like pissing off two of the biggest fan bases right now, so I'll go ahead and say this Kaapo Kakko 2 year, $2.1 million deal, foreshadowing your ice Slavkovsky's future in Montreal. Slavkovsky will be better, but just just feel like pissing off two fan bases right now.
Habs fans are going to come out there. I think this is going to be a quote that we might post on the page. yeah, that's a nice way to piss off two fan bases, but it's going to be interesting to see what Kaapo Kakko shapes out to be. We don't really know much about the player he's... Well, we have seen glimpses of the type of player he can be, but we haven't seen solidified examples of the guy yet with the Rangers. So 2 years, $2.1 million with the New York Rangers. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. And then Jesse Puljujarvi, 1 year, $3 million with the Edmonton Oilers. Originally, there were talks about potentially having a trade for him, but the market didn't shape up like a bunch of Oilers fans expected it would. So, Panos, how do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, I would rather keep Puljujarvi at 1 year, $3 million than trade him for like a third round pick or whatever the value was at that point. Like, apparently his value was next to nothing on the market. It was like a mid round pick. So there's no point in moving him at that point. Like, he's good. He's literally good. I don't know why the Oilers are even trying to move him in the first place. Like, he has some finishing issues for sure, but like, it's nothing like that's making him a liability on the ice. I still think he's a good player for the Oilers. And you've seen it analytically, and you can even see it on the ice too. Like, he's good. It's just, he has those finishing issues that he's going to have to work on. But I would still rather keep him and develop him rather than just move him for a mid-round pick. Like, there's no upside in that for a contending team like the Oilers.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And even, like, just the point you brought up with keeping him is better. Like, they have Warren Fogle for, like, $3.3 million, I think it is. Like, why wouldn't they just ship him off instead of Puljujärvi? So, yeah, I think it's a good deal. As you know, I'm a Flames fan, so I'm gonna have to gulp my pride a bit and praise the Oilers a bit for this deal. Even though it's pretty easy, any team could have done this. 1 year, $3 million. I think it's a good prove it deal for Jesse Puljujärvi. I think he does get a top six role. A lot of Oilers fans want that, and under Woodcroft, I think he's done well. And I think he has a chance to prove that he is that, well, not really that player that they picked before guys like Matthew Tkachuk and stuff, but he has potential to prove that he does still have some value at the NHL level and with the Oilers. So we'll see what happens, but currently as it stands, I think it's a very good deal for Edmonton. So Kevin, I'll let you weigh in.
Dude, nobody wants to pay more than a third round pick or a mid round pick for Jesse, the next Val Nichushkin, Puljujarvi. Come on. Come on.
Yeah, that's all my thoughts. I don't know. It's just GMs don't value him as much as apparently people think they would. But yeah, it's a great re-up deal with Edmonton. And then obviously Ethan Bear, the guy that Edmonton traded for Warren Fogle that we just touched on, he signed a 1 year deal worth $2.2 million with Carolina. There were talks that him and his agent were talking with Carolina to get a trade done. There were talks that Vancouver was involved, but I don't know if there still is a trade to be worked out. But he re-ups with the Carolina Hurricanes for a year and $2.2 million. So, Panos, how do you feel about that?
Which one?
Ethan Bear won 1 year, $2.2 with Carolina.
Yeah, I like Ethan Bear. I think he's got potential as well. He's not like the best defensively, but he's still got potential as well. And it's kind of the same boat as Puljujärvi. I feel like it's better just for Carolina to keep him rather than just move him for nothing. If you're a contending team, right? There's upside there with Ethan Bear. Mm. Like, you're not going to get anything for Ethan Bear at this point. What are you going to get if you trade him? Like, Puljujärvi, like a third round pick. So I like that one as well. They're both like just prove it deals. And if they suck this year, if they suck or if they're not up to standards, then you move them next offseason, because I think they both have RFA eligibility next year as well.
Yeah. Do you still think a trade would happen for Ethan Bears? Is Carolina just swallowing their pride a bit and just taking the chance on him again?
I feel like, I mean, it's still early in the offseason, so a trade could happen. It's just like, I don't think it should. Like, I think you should keep him around just because he's a good defenseman. Like, he's worth taking a risk on, especially since you're not going to get anything insane for him. Like, if you could get, like, a second-round pick for Ethan Bear right now, I'd say, okay, yeah, just trade him because he's not really looking too great in Carolina. But they're not going to get that for Ethan Bear. So you might as well keep him and just try and develop him into what you thought he was going to be.
Yeah. Kevin, how do you feel?
Well, they're not going to, there's no opportunity for him to develop there. So I don't know what they're clinging on to. Like, their right side is Brent Burns, Brett Pesce, Dylan Coughlin. So either he plays his offside or Coughlin plays his offside. It's just, I don't know why they're still clinging on to him, because he's not going to develop into any more that he already is in Carolina. So his value is not going to get any higher there, in my opinion.
He was playing left D this season, was he not?
Oh, well, maybe. But either way, I still don't think he's, even on the third pair, I don't know if he's getting any power play time. But I don't think him being on the third pair is going to raise his value at all. So I don't know what they're clinging on to. That's what I think about that.
Yeah, it's like, even that point you brought up, it's actually very accurate. He actually played his right side, Panos.
Oh, did he this season?
Yeah, he played. Yeah, he did.
He was, I on thought he right was side. Left D because, what's it called? Cap Friendly has him on the depth chart as a left D.
Oh, I'm just looking at Carolina's lineups from like their this year, and they have Ethan Bear on their right side.
Well, if he's straight up a right defenseman, then I would say, yeah, move him, honestly. Then I agree with you guys, because there's no opportunity there for them. But I thought he was a lefty, and I was like, okay, he could probably maybe even take over Shea on the left D side. But if he's just a straight up right D, then yeah, no, I would move on from him as well.
Yeah, it just makes sense, because like now with Brent Burns and like even Dylan Coughlin as well.
And Brett
And Brett Pesce, can't forget about him. So even that right side is already way better, way like, I don't even know where, I think Ethan Bear, they will play him on the left, because if I'm looking at daily faceoffs lineup combinations that they're predicting, they have Ethan Bear on the left side with Dylan Coughlin on the third. So I think that,
he played left D at some point, I swear.
I think he did, but I don't know. I couldn't find it apart from this daily faceoff thing. So I think you're right. So I think in that case, if he does play right D, then sure, trade him. But if he has already played left D and he will play this season, then yeah, just keep him for that 1 year. So Ethan Bear re-upping with Carolina. And obviously a big favorite amongst, now obviously onto a big favorite in the analytics community and just the NHL fan base in general. Jonas Siegenthaler, a 5-year extension worth $3.4 million, signed that extension with the New Jersey Devils, a great, great defenseman for that team at the moment. So how do you feel about it, Panos?
Yeah, I like it. Jonas Siegenthaler, however you say his name. But he's a Puck Empire follower, so I love the guy. I talked to him a couple times. And he's a really good shutdown guy. Like, he's like one of the top defensemen in the league, which is something New Jersey needs, considering like how abysmal their defense has been. I honestly can't remember a time New Jersey has had a good defensive core in my time of being a hockey fan. I'm trying to think. Like,
probably years ago when they won the cup, like when they had Niedermeyer and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, it's been a long time. So he's good to have, and I like how New Jersey has been shaping up the defensive core this offseason. Mm-hmm. And locking up Siegenthaler, because he's young as well, and he was like a second-round pick, I believe. So he's actually, like, good. Like, I saw a lot of people going, like, why would you do this? Why would you do this? Like, as if he's, like, a certified bum. Like, he was a 57th overall pick in 2015, so he was always supposed to be, like, a solid player. He was a second-round pick. Washington just traded him last in 2020, 2021, the shortened year. I don't know why they did that. But like, yes,
if you look at their defense.
Yeah. He's always supposed to have been good. So I don't know why people were acting like that was a terrible contract when I posted it. Like, I saw everyone saying, what are they doing? Like, why would they do this? He's gonna be good. A good shutdown guy for a long time.
Yeah, I think this is a great deal for New Jersey, like Panos touched on it. So yeah, that's Jonas Siegenthaler, 5-year extension with the New Jersey Devils, $3.4 million. A segment we forgot about during the last podcast episode, obviously with the Matthew Tkachuk deal dropping down on our heads. So that just took up all the time there. And the livable city thing that Panos posted a while ago, just based on Johnny Gaudreau leaving and stuff like that. So yeah, Kevin, I'll let you start with your list. What's your top 5 cities that you'd like to live in if you were an NHL player?
My top 5 would be, first starting with Tampa, second would be Florida, as not technically a city, but wherever they play Sunrise. Third would be Arizona, so same thing, wherever they play. Four would be Calgary, five would be Denver. It's kind of controversial, last two there, but people are probably asking me, like, oh, where's California, where's Vegas? I mean, those places don't really interest me that much. I'm not a huge party guy personally. So if I had to live in like Calgary or Denver, I'd be completely satisfied personally.
Yeah.
Panos, let's see your top five list. Obviously you had it there on your page, so it's going to be easy. Let's see.
So my, everyone who knows me knows I'm like a big city guy. I want to live in like big cities all the time. I like them. So number one's at LA. I got tripped a lot because a lot of my followers hate California for whatever reason. Like they really hate it with a passion. But LA is the place I want to be if I'm an NHL player, even just in general, I want to be in LA. So that's my number one. Number two is New York, the Rangers, New York City, another big city. A lot of media attention there for hockey, which would be cool. Number three, Toronto. Everybody knows I'm an Ontario boy. So Toronto is just that team that, you know, everybody from Ontario, I feel like, wants to play for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So, yeah. Number four, Vancouver, another big city in Canada, probably like a top two city in Canada. And their fan base is absolutely wild. Yeah. Like, I deal with it on a daily basis, and they're crazy about hockey. So that's another one. And then the only like non-big team or big city here is Anaheim at five, just because I've got that Southern California bias that I want to be in Southern California. So that's the fifth one. Just it's also like the four teams, they all have like the high media attention for hockey, and then Anaheim just like nobody talks about hockey there. So I mean, if you want to play in a nice weather area and you don't want to deal with the media though, like LA has, go to Anaheim.
Yeah,
I'd hate playing in Toronto if I wasn't a superstar. Oh yeah, personally. Yeah, like I'd want to be a superstar if I'm playing in Toronto. Anyway, Jote, top five.
Yeah, my top five. At number one, I have New York. I just like the Big Apple feel. I've always liked New York. Just even as a fan and even as a person that wants to travel around the world, I think New York is a nice place, even though downtown New York is kind of weird. There's some characters around downtown New York. So New York is at my number one. LA, number two, just based off of how nice LA is and just the Hollywood feel. So that's number two for me. I would just love playing in Vancouver because of the climate and just the laid-back feel in LA, even though the pressure is there. And number three, Vancouver. I'm not a Vancouver Canucks fan, but just I hate the Canucks, first off. But I love the city. I love lower mainland Vancouver, like areas like Surrey, Delta, Burnaby, Vancouver. I love that area and just how close it is to almost everything. It's close to the mountains. You can snowboard there. You can even, like, there's beaches there as well. So Vancouver is equipped for everything. So they're at my number three. And then number four, Florida, the Panthers. If you want to have that laid back feel and you don't want the pressure and you want all that climate and everything else, I think Florida would be the place to go. And that's why Matthew Tkachuk left Calgary for Florida. And then at number five, being a good old Calgary boy from Yeehaw Nation, I think I'd have Calgary at five. I just love the city. It's tight-knit. The fans are one of the best, like some of the best in the NHL. So there's that in my top five. And then let's start with bottom five. Panos, I'll let you go first.
All right, bottom five. I don't want to really offend anyone from these five teams, but these are just teams that I wouldn't really want to play for. The last place is Winnipeg. Like, I'm sorry. I've already dealt with enough Canadian winters in my life, which is why I had all those nice areas in my top five. But like, I had LA and Anaheim in my top five. Winnipeg, it's like the complete opposite of those places. There's nothing to do there if you're a pro athlete who's making millions a year. I just wouldn't want to play there. Their fan base is amazing though. Like, they have a really nice fan base, a dedicated fan base. Just like, I would not want to play there in terms of just complete another city. Second last was Philadelphia. Just like, I'm sorry that Philadelphia as a city doesn't really appeal to me. And the team has not really done anything since like cup wise, they haven't won since the 70s. Third last, St. Louis. Again, it's a city thing for me. I just don't really care for that city. And the Blues are always just kind of a team, like, no offense, that I forget about a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm from Ontario and they're from Missouri, so I just kind of forget that they kind of exist a lot. Like, with a lot of the Midwest teams, I just kind of forget they exist, if I'm being honest. Nashville at fourth last. I got massacred for this one. Nashville as a city, I did not know was so good. So, I mean, I'm keeping it at fourth last just because I want to keep my list the same. But, like, I got to check it out. Maybe when the draft, if they end up getting the draft, I'm going to go down there and I'll see how it is. But people were saying it's a really nice city. So, and then fifth last was the Islanders, just because, like, it's like, come on now, it's the Islanders, no offense. But the way they treated Tavares, this was kind of nuts. Like, they're kind of crazy. It's a good hockey place if you want to be in a big market. It's just like, it's also the city is just like compared to New York City, which is like that massive area. And then you've got the Islanders playing like Elmont, I think, right?
Yeah, I have Belmont. Yeah.
So that's my bottom five.
Yeah. Kevin, what about yours?
Last place. This may come as a shock to some people. Winnipeg. for the same reasons. Like I'd actually probably dread living in Winnipeg, no offense. Second last would be Detroit. Third last would be Buffalo. Fourth last would be Philadelphia. Also has to do with the team. The most mid-franchise ever, probably. Well, not ever. Sorry, I take that back. But, like, right now, definitely.
Yeah.
And last would be Nashville, which is kind of ironic. But I dread the 2 weeks of Stampede or a week, whatever it is. So I don't think I could handle like 365 days a year of country. It's like,
I'm going to force country on you.
That'd be a little too much for me. Can't live in Tennessee.
Yeah. And then my list, this is going to come as a surprise as well. Winnipeg again. It's just been consensus as Winnipeg being at the bottom list. Obviously, just want to give out a shout out to the good old Winnipeg boy, Carter. I know he listens to this. So we're chirping Winnipeg again for you. So I just wouldn't want to live in the Winnipeg at all. I just don't think it's appealing as an NHL player. Obviously, the fan base is one of the best, but climate-wise, living in Calgary and then you go to Winnipeg and their winters being brutal, I wouldn't want to go there. And then second last for me would be Detroit. I love Hockey Town. I love the fan base, but I don't think Detroit's appealing to me. If you look at the Lions, if you look at every sports team there, all of them are abysmal right now. And even just in general. And then third last, I'd have the Islanders. I just don't like their fan base. Don't like that. Just don't like the Islanders organization. I wouldn't want to play for Lou Lamoriello. I have a beard. I'm not shaving my fucking beard for Lou Lamoriello. And then obviously fourth last, I'd have Columbus. I'm kind of still salty about Johnny Gaudreau leaving, but after hearing about everything, I kind of moved Columbus up my list a little. I don't have much to say about Columbus. And then fifth last, St. Louis. It's just an irrelevant city. If I was a defenseman, I think that's where defensemen go to die, in my opinion. That's where the careers go on a downfall, and they just aren't the same after that. So that's the livable city argument. And now on to the next topic. Obviously, just about 2 days ago, I think it was, the Kings announced that they'd be retiring Dustin Brown's jersey number. Are they retiring his jersey number?
Yeah, they are.
Oh. Yeah, they're giving him a statue. So I know the statue thing caught a lot of people off guard, especially with how many statues are outside of Crypto.com Arena, which shouldn't be Crypto.com Arena. It's always going to be Staples Center to me. And Panos, I know how you feel. I'll let you get started as you've covered the Kings and you still do.
Yeah, I cover the Kings for sites, so I was actually around them a lot and I know a lot of their fan base now. I probably would have been in the same boat as a lot of other people, like kind of chirping this, like if it was this time last year. But now after being around the fan base and everyone like realizing like how much Dustin Brown has been, like he brought the first two Stanley Cups to LA as a captain. He was the first person to ever lift the Stanley Cup as a captain in LA. He lifted the cup before Wayne Gretzky could do it in LA, like before any of those guys who played in LA have ever done it. And he's done a ton for the community for hockey-wise in Southern California and in Los Angeles. And he's also their all-time leader in games played. So with all those being said, like, he's definitely deserving of a statue if, like, Luke Robitaille got it. Like, Luke Robitaille, as an individual player, was definitely better than Dustin Brown. But did the organization of Los Angeles, of the Los Angeles Kings. Dustin Brown did more than Luke Robitaille did. So, like, Dustin Brown deserves a statue, in my opinion. And everyone says, well, okay, Kopitar and Quick and Doughty should get one. They're all going to get one as well once they all retire.
Yeah,
like,
that's a unanimous decision.
Yeah. Like, all three of those guys are going to get statues along with Dustin Brown. So, they're all LA legends. And the only thing that stood out to me is the fact that they don't have a Kobe Bryant statue outside of the Crypto.com arena. That's kind of weird to me, but like they're probably going to make one. They're just like trying to make sure it's as perfect as possible since, he passed away, and they want to make it like actually a good statue is what I'm guessing. Because they would just not have a Kobe Bryant statue out.
Yeah, and obviously the like how fresh the wound of him dying still is to his family. So I think they want to do it in some great fashion for the city of Los Angeles and Kobe fans in general and his family. So I think I think it will take some time, but I think they will give him a statue. But onto the Dustin Brown thing, I think I'm in the boat of I'm not really anti-statue for Dustin Brown. I get the whole discussion about why he deserves it and everything, but If you look at like the standard that the LA Kings organization has been accustomed to for the last little bit, and they have been in the past with Wayne Gretzky, Luke Robitaille, Marcel Dion, other guys like great guys like John, now even Jonathan Quick, Anze Kopitar, Drew Doughty, and even guys in the past. I still think the statue is a stretch. Jersey number, sure, for everything he did, but the statue was a stretch in my opinion. I don't think he, like, everything he's done, sure, but I don't think he deserves a statue, especially how many great Lakers, Kings are out there already. So I don't think Dustin Brown, I think he's going to be like the forgotten player out of those guys that are even out there with statues. And now people are going to be like, who the hell is Dustin Brown like 20 years from now?
In Los Angeles?
Like, which, okay, like if I'm talking about it right now, like if you look at the kids, like who do they, I don't think the kids right now of this Kings fan generation, like the younger kids, like 10 and under, like 13 and under even, who stands out to them? Obviously the bigger names, not Dustin Brown. Do you think Dustin Brown's kind of trash?
Well, okay, who was the captain when the Flames won the cup?
When the Flames won the cup, Lanny McDonald.
Exactly. Like Lanny McDonald is not going to be a guy who everyone's going to remember.
What do you mean? Okay, Lanny McDonald and Dustin Brown are not on the same level.
In this generation, Lanny McDonald would be Dustin Brown. What Dustin Brown?
No.
I don't think this can be an argument. I don't think this can be an argument because No. Listen, Taryn Joe, with all due respect, I don't think this can be an argument because you're not like a this generation kid in California.
Okay.
Obviously, you know who Lanny McDonald is because you're in Calgary, but from Panos's perspective, like he probably doesn't. He sees Lanny McDonald the same as Dustin Brown. So
exactly.
Yeah. So that's what I'm. Yeah. Like I'm
career kind of wise for Panos though, like, here. If you look at the career wise,
he still played 1,296 games, which is like insane and. Obviously in the community, like fair, like he was a 60 point power forward in his prime, but I feel like saying that might be a little stretch and like
that's just, my controversial thing right now
here. But listen, well, from I just don't played from so. 1973 to 1989, right? He had 1,100 games. He had 1,000 points in 1,100 games. Dustin Brown had 700 points in 1,300 games, but he was playing from 2003 to 2022, which is a different like era of scoring.
Oh, obviously.
Brown is like, that's like the perfect comparison, in my opinion. Dustin Brown and Lanny McDonald. Like, I feel like all Flames fans are always going to remember Lanny McDonald because he brought you the
100%. Yeah.
And Dustin Brown brought
two. Now that I think of it that way, you've kind of opened my eyes. But I don't think it's a fair comparison to Lanny McDonald, just being biased and just thinking about it. Even if you look at what Lanny McDonald's done for the game of hockey, he's the president of the Hockey Hall of Fame. And even on top of that, Order of Hockey Canada is irrelevant. Like, if you're a hockey fan, I don't really think people really care about it. But he has that. He's in the Alberta Sports Hall of Fame. Is Dustin Brown going to be in the Hockey Hall of Fame? Bring that up.
He'll be, if there's an LA Sports Hall of Fame, he's 100%.
Okay, LA Sports Hall of Fame, but the Hockey Hall of Fame. We're talking about the Hockey Hall of Fame.
If Dustin Brown played in Lanny McDonald's era, he'd probably be a Hall of Famer.
I mean, anyone would be, but I'm just talking about current.
But listen. Lanny McDonald, one-time Stanley Cup champion, two-time All-Star, it says here. He won the Masterton, he won a Clancy. Like, Is he that much better than Dustin Brown?
Yeah, I agree. Yes.
I don't know. This is kind of going off the tracks, but I still think that argument of the cups thing, I agree with 100%, but I just don't think it's still a fair comparison.
I'm going to give some final thoughts here because if you look at LA standards of statue, I think, yeah, sure, give Dustin Brown a statue, especially if you're going to give Doughty Quick. What?
How? You look at like LA, LA standards? Listen, like, listen, you mean the Kings or LA in general?
Kings, because if they're gonna give Doughty, Kopitar, and Quick a statue, then yeah, give Dustin Brown a statue. I don't care. But from a general perspective, it's fucking hilarious how they're giving a 60-point power forward a statue.
That's what I'm trying to say.
That is so funny to me.
As a regular NHL fan, like I can agree with that, but like yeah, then you yeah. have to take into account like LA standards, like
exactly. That's why I'm saying yeah. I'm not like fully anti because you look at LA standards and I don't really care because you know
I'm not fully
LA standards, either. But like from a casual perspective, it's just so funny.
Yeah.
Like what the hell? Dustin Brown is getting a statue.
Yeah.
But yeah.
yeah, it's like it's basically like if the Rangers gave like Chris Kreider a statue, like skill wise. But like then you have to realize like the history of Dustin Brown. That's why that's why I'm saying that.
Yeah. No, that's okay.
And then, yeah, this kind of went off the rails, but good debate. I still think Lanny McDonald, I don't think that comparison is fair, but we'll move on. Now it's on to the 1 minute rapid fire questions with Panos. This segment was a huge hit last episode. So we'll get that underway.
Joe, you start.
Okay. Who's going to win the Jack Adams next year?
Oh, shit. that actually caught me off guard. Fuck. Sheldon Keefe. Let's go, Sheldon Keefe.
Okay.
What age is Connor McDavid going bald?
Probably 29, I'm gonna say.
Which teams will this is a longer one, but which teams will lead the Pacific, Central, Metro, and Atlantic next season? Pacific,
Edmonton.
Central,
Colorado.
Metro.
Carolina. Or Rangers.
Atlantic.
Toronto.
Okay.
Will Brad Marchand get suspended next year?
No, because he's going to miss half the season.
Okay. How many goals will Zemgus Jurgensen score next season?
Like 12.
Over under 10.5 goals for Nick Dowd next season.
Under.
Who do you look like the most, Igor Shesterkin or Brandon Tanev?
Oh, Igor, because of the beard, no.
Which goalie leads the league in assists next year?
Igor again.
Okay, how many points will Matthias Janmark have next season?
What the fuck? 27.
How many points for Slafkovsky next season?
I'll say 35.
And that's it.
Yeah, that's episode number 4 of the Puck Empire podcast. Kind of went off the rails there, but we'll take it. Panos, I'll let you. What do you think? I think we're going to have some good episodes down the road with some potential guests. Wink, wink.
Yeah, we're working on getting some guests from the NHL and just other like alumni in general, and we've been doing really good. Like, we appreciate all the listeners. We got over 2,000 listeners on our last episode, which is insane. We've got over 5,000 plays through our first 3 episodes, and it's gone way better than I was expecting it to go for the podcast. So, you know, we appreciate everyone listening on, and, you know, we're just going to keep on trying to get up. We've been top 15 for the last 2 weeks now in both Canada and America for podcasts, for hockey podcasts.
Yeah, that's amazing. Never thought it would ever get to that point.
Yeah, it's insane. So thank you guys for the support. And we're just going to keep on pushing out episodes.
Yeah, Kevin, what about you? Just some quick thoughts.
Yeah, no, it completely blew out my expectations. Is that the right way to say that?
Yeah.
But I really appreciate the support on this. It's actually unreal, having so much fun. So let's keep pumping out some episodes in the future.
Yeah, appreciate all the support. And that's episode number 4 of the Puck Empire podcast. Panos, I'll let you end it off like usual.
All right, we'll see you guys in the next one, boys.